There you go. Make it turn green. All right. This morning I would, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. I'll only read the first three verses to you. I would ask you, when you find your place, if you're able to, if you would rise with me, we'll simply rise out of respect for the Word of God. We'll read these first three verses. As I see you've risen, I take it you found your place. The Scriptures here, in chapter 15 of the book of Exodus, read, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." Lord Jesus, this morning I pray you please be with us and help us. I pray you help me to preach these thoughts, Lord, you've laid upon me. I ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. I have a simple thing to offer to you, and that's that the Lord is a man of war. You know, I think it's important that we have the right view of God, and we live in a land which has a distorted view of God. We live in a land which has taken truths about God and gone into untruth. It's true that Jesus came meek and lowly. That's true. It's true that Jesus is gentle. It's true. It's true that God is graceful. And that He's merciful, and that He's full of pity. This is true. But you must remember where that comes from. It's true because He is strong. When I was in the military, we had a saying of peace through strength, peace through superior firepower. The reason that Jesus could come meek and lowly is because that He is God, high and holy. God is a man of war. We don't serve a little stringy hippie on the hillside that doesn't have power to tie his own shoes. We have a mighty God whom we serve. We serve a God who is a man of war. And a man of war, if you've been around anything, now we've lost sight of what that means in our nation. We've lost sight of what war means. We don't really know anymore. We say, well, I sent my son or my grandson off to war. Well, for him personally, I'm sure it was just as much war as any war that the nation's ever fought. But for the nation, it's not so. This nation doesn't view war the same. This nation views war as going and straightening out a mess in another country. People, that's not what war is. War is a conflict between two entities that ensures the destruction of one of them. And it's not known when you go into a war normally which one's going to get destroyed. And our God is a man of war. He knows what it means to struggle. And He knows what it means to fight. And I believe that we need to know that our God is a man of war. And I think the fact that we don't know that is somewhere deep inside us is why we whine and mully grub. And instead of looking at our God and say, it doesn't matter what comes my way, because my God is a man of war and He can handle it and He can take care of it. And so it doesn't really matter if somebody hurts my feelings. That doesn't mean anything. I've got a job to do. I've got something to do. And I've got a God that's going to take care of me because the Lord is a man of war. Now, a man of war has determination about him. And that means he's got guts. He's got gumption. That means I don't have to worry about whether or not my Lord is going to make it, whether or not my Lord is going to be able to take care of me. I don't have to worry about whether or not Brother Roger, my Lord, is going to change his mind because he's a man of war. He's got determination. He's got guts. He's already made up his mind. It said of our Lord that he set his face like a flint. That meant that he had already determined what he was going to do. I'll promise you, the cross didn't surprise Jesus. He made up his mind on that a long time before. And I don't mean 6 months before. I mean before the foundation of the world. I mean our God is a man of war, and he's already made up his mind, and he's already made up his mind that I am in heaven with him. It don't feel like I am, but I am. It's just a matter of time. And he's already got his mind set, and he's not going to change it. He's not a man of negotiations. That's the devil. Amen. If you feel like there's some negotiations going inside you about right and wrong, be careful. That ain't the Lord. He's already determined what right and wrong is. There's only one way to be saved. He's already laid it down. He don't make no private deals. Nobody's got a private peace with God. If you think you've got your own private deal with God, you've been lied to. And you believed it. Because the Lord's a man of war. He doesn't negotiate. And he's serious about his business. Listen, the things of God are serious. The things of God are not laughing, joking matters. And a church is a place for serious business to be conducted. Even the worship of the Lord is a serious thing. It should pour out from the depths of the heart. If it's just where you're trying to copy Aunt Sally or copy your brother John, you'd be best off to sit down or come to an altar and get right.
Amen.
Worship is a serious business. And prayer is a serious business. And our Lord's serious about what He does. He's a man of war. He's not out to play. This ain't a game. It's real. He's not only a man of determination, He's a man of discipline. The thing that every soldier must learn in every army and every time is discipline. And discipline is a matter of from our standpoint, it's a matter of learning that God already knows. It's a matter of learning how to ignore all the distractions. When you go out on a drill field as a recruit in an army and learn how to do a left face and a right face, there's more than learning technique. There's more than learning just how to turn your feet and face. There's learning how to ignore everything around you and concentrate on what you're being told and doing it. Now, our Lord is a man of discipline. He's not distracted. There's nothing goes on in your life that distracts God from what He's doing in you and for you. Nothing bothers God. I don't know if it ever crossed your mind, but God's never reacted to anything. Never. He already knew what He was going to do. Our God's a God of discipline. By the way, if we're going to be children of our Father, we ought to be well disciplined too. Amen. And I'm not just talking about the little ones. If you don't want your little ones to whine, why don't you quit whining? Amen. That's right. If you're going to be a child of your Father, why don't you learn to ignore all that junk going on and go serve your Father? Be well disciplined. Our God, being a man of war, He's determined, He's disciplined, and He knows His duty. I'm tired of duty getting a bad name. I've heard people say, well, don't go to church out of duty. Well, you don't know what duty is. I was in service. And I'll tell you, many times I got up in the middle of the night to go stand watch somewhere where there wasn't even no enemy to break in. I did so because it was my duty. And I felt like it was my honor and my privilege to go and do my duty. Duty is not done out of drudgery. Duty is not drudgery. Duty is doing what's right at the right time in the right place. Because it's right, and for no other reason. And that's what duty is. Our God is a God of duty. And He did the right thing, at the right time, in the right place, for the right reason. And it might not make sense to me why God would choose me and save me, but thank God He did. I'm glad He did His duty. Amen. Our God is a man of war. And He does His duty. He does the right thing every time, at the right place, in the right time. And He does so in your life. And if you doubt it, you doubt Him, believe it. Believe it. He's a man of war. He does His duty. Amen. And I'm losing my voice already. So I can tell I'm just going to make one more thing and sit down. But a man of war is a man of death. That's a little more serious, ain't it? I already told Jesus, He's a serious God. There's no war without death.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, not just individual death, but the death of an entire nation. Because real war destroys somebody, destroys a nation.
Amen.
And that means a people. And there's a people who are going to be destroyed because our Lord is a man of war. And that means He's determined the destruction of a people. You know, that's a fearsome thing if you're the wrong people. And I think we've lost that fear because the land no longer seems to understand what it means that God is a man of war. He's out to destroy. Now, wait a minute, you say. I thought it was the devil who's out to destroy. He is too. But God will judge and destroy those who are against Him. But can I tell you that while for His enemies, the death is their death, for His people, He said, I'll die. You know, a good soldier is willing to die for his land, for his people. And our God is a man of war, and He's willing to die for His people, and did die for His people. And why did He do it? Because our God is a man of war. If you're an enemy of God today, you say, I'm no enemy of God. Or if you're lost, you are. Did you know that? Did you know that if you're not a child of God, you're an enemy of God? Would you war against God? He's going to war against you. Can I tell you, you can change armies. You can go from ensuring your own death to believing in His death.
Amen.
You can go from being at war against God to being at war for God.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm a Christian and I'm not at war for God. Those two statements don't agree with each other. One of those two statements is wrong. And you best figure out which one. Amen. For our God is a man of war. I've lost my voice, brother. I've got to turn it back over to you.
Amen. Bless you, Lord.